Church, stand with me. You know that chorus. Let's sing it again. One more time now. Something beautiful. Something good. Something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something. All right, you got the hang of it. One more time. Sing it with me, church. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful. So good to see you in the house of the Lord. Let's go to Him in a word of prayer tonight. Ask Him to be with us. What a great service we had this morning. Amen?
Amen.
And it's good to see you back in the house tonight. Brother Jeff, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer? If you will remain standing, turn over to page number 265. Page 265, and let's sing, Love Lifted Me. Lifted me. Amen. And again, it's good to see you here this evening. Remember all the prayer requests that we had this morning. And it looks like the children's home is gone this afternoon. So let's keep them in prayer, lift them up in prayer, and just ask the Lord to be with us in the service tonight. Please remember the offering. Let's remember the service. And also, we were talking a little earlier about in choir practice, that homecoming is right around the corner. That is, I believe, September the 11th, 9/11. That's amazing that they would hit on that time for this year. But let's remember homecoming in prayer, September the 11th. Go ahead and mark that on your calendars. We're looking forward to a great time. Choir's going to be looking to try and learn some new songs for homecoming this year. So please be much in prayer for us as well. Let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray?
Thank you. the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy when his loving arms receive us and his songs our tongues employ. And then at the name of Jesus, bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings, in heaven we'll crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.
My Lord, I yield to his will. I lay down my sword to pick up his banner and march bold and strong. There is no doubt whose side I am.
I am burning.
Fear filled their hearts, for they thought they would die. But they failed to remember that the Master was nigh. And he spoke the words, and the winds all stood still. Even the waters obeyed his will. And he calmed their storms, just like he will mine. If I just remember that he lives deep inside, so why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. We read in the Bible how he walked with them, brought light in their darkness when the way seemed so dim. How great it would be to have his steps leading mine, and to walk with the Master all of the time. So when trials come and death seems so nigh, I'll call on the Master, he'll be there on time. And when sickness comes and my body is in pain, all I have to do is call on his name. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart. He hears me when I cry. Call on his name till the storm passes by. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? The very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. So I'll call on his name when the storm passes by. He lives in my heart, and he hears me when I cry. And I'll just call on his name when the storm passes.
David, good to have the Peppers with us tonight, and Brother Vernon, Sister Jeanette, so good to have them with us. They were here on a Wednesday night not too long ago, but got to talking one with the other and lined up a date for tonight. And so I want to save about 10 minutes at the conclusion of the lesson, the message tonight, so that Brother Vernon could come and present their work to you. Fairs and festivals. And finally got the words right. But anyway, what a blessing they are. So we're going to save a few moments for that. I did want to say a couple things briefly. Please remember Brother Eddie Rich in prayer. He's going this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. For surgery on his nose. And so let's remember him. That's three appointments in 1 week for one nose. That's a lot. And so let's remember Brother Riddy. Boy, it's been a long day. Brother Eddie and Miss Joanne and the family, as of course they support him during this time. Remember that. And again, remember this coming up Sunday, Brother Don Rich will be preaching and giving us an update on his work there in Peru. And Brother Craig Edwards, the 28th of this month. And I wanted to remind you of that again, the 28th, because normally on the last Sunday night of each month we have a fellowship, and we're just going to let everybody have, all those that pitch in and make things possible, we're giving you a break this month. And so Brother Craig will be here that morning, that night. I'll be away that morning preaching at Floyd Road, but then on that night, Brother Craig will be preaching again. And again, he's preaching on depression. And so remember that. Seemed like there was something else I was going to say, but we'll get into the message tonight. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn, make our way toward the book of Acts, chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12. Oh, I remember. Brother Vernon, I told you by way of text that we should have a pretty good crowd tonight, and I didn't realize that our children's home was going to be gone and some others. But we still have a decent crowd here tonight. We praise the Lord for those who are here. And so anyway. All right, the book of Acts chapter number 12. And let me say this. We just reached a one-year anniversary with someone. Actually, two someones. Brother Brian Busby and Brother C.J. Martin just hit a year anniversary. Can anybody guess of what? Y'all are smart. Man, y'all are keeping up with this thing, aren't you? 1 year. 1 year ago, actually, it was July the 11th last year, we ordained Brother Brian, Brother CJ as deacons, Brother Snyder and myself. So this is their one-year anniversary. One-year anniversary. You pray for my voice tonight. It's trying to stop before I'm through. So remember that. And saying that, during the ordination service, we challenged the church. We charged the church concerning their role in supporting Brother Brian and Brother CJ. Now, tonight, I want to continue to challenge the church for the deacons, but also I want to challenge the church with the church. And with that said, I want to preach for a few moments on a church challenge. A church challenge. And meaning that some of these things that we challenge the church concerning the deacon's role can also be a challenge for all of us together as a church. And so we want to do our very best tonight to do that. And so these points will start with deacon in it, but they're meant for both, not only deacons, but for the church as individuals. But speaking of deacons, one person said one time that deacons are shock absorbers in many ways. The same way that shocks on an automobile absorb the impact from the road, likewise, deacons absorb the impact from the ministry. And I like that. I really do. Deacons are shock absorbers. Not only are deacons shock absorbers, but church members can also be shock absorbers to absorb some of the impact that takes place in ministry. It's not the pastor's job to do everything. It's not the deacon's job to do everything. It's not the Sunday school teacher's job to do everything. The choir director, folks in the sound room, those in the nursery. But it's all of our job when we see a need to address that need and try to absorb some of that shock. Now, deacons are willful servants to the church and co-laborers with the pastor. And again, the same is true with each and every one of you. Those who are blood-bought by Jesus, you are part of the body of Christ, and we are here to serve together. And what a blessing that is tonight. And so I want to mention some things, a challenge to you, for each other, including myself. Again, we'll be using the word deacon quite a bit, but it's, the message is for all of us. Some things that we can do for one another. Number one, we can pray for one another. Pray for one another. And let me encourage you, church, as your role concerning our deacons, you're to pray for our deacons. Again, this isn't a message just for the deacons, but it's for all of us. You're to pray for your deacons, but you're to pray for one another. Notice, if you would, here in the book of Acts, chapter number 12. We know that Herod was going after certain of the church, those that were making a difference for Jesus, basically. And we know that Peter was in prison. We know verse number 2 says, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarterions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And then verse number 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So we see here in this passage that the church was praying. And that's what the church ought to do. We ought to be a praying church, and we are a praying church. On Wednesday nights, every single Wednesday night, we have a time of prayer at the altar. And we have most of the time a silent time of prayer. Occasionally, when someone's having a surgery, something like that, we'll audibly pray. But most of the time, it's just a silent time of prayer. We're to come together. We're to pray for one another. You're to pray for your deacons as well, as they have a specific role in the church. Now, we know that Peter was in jail. I want you to notice something. So the church got to praying. Look, if you would, in verse number 15. There was a knock at the door, and there was a damsel that heard the voice of Peter, and she went back to tell the others that were praying. And look what the account says in verse 15. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angels," or his angel. And so we literally have the church praying, "Oh Lord, relieve Peter from prison. Oh Lord, we pray that you would loosen his shackles and chains. And oh God, just release him from prison somehow. We're asking you and we're begging you for deliverance for Peter." But the young lady said, "Peter's at the door knocking." They said, "Oh, no, he's not." What is that? That's not much confidence in their praying, is it? And I wonder sometimes if we, as a church, we get together, we pray, or maybe even at home, we're praying like we know we ought to pray, but we're saying it with our lips, but maybe within our hearts, we just don't believe it's going to happen. Yeah. A particular situation. Someone's away from the Lord. A family that's in disarray. Something or another going on with an individual in a church. Whatever the case may be, I wonder if we just pray, but we don't pray in faith. Yeah. If we're going to pray tonight, let us pray in faith. Yeah. Because we do serve a mountain mover, brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that there was prayer offered up for the sake of Peter. And The damsel Rhoda, she believed, but the church did not. And we know that Peter was released. Now, we're to pray for our deacons. Number one, they have families to lead. Like I said, this is going to be a mixed sermon. They have families to lead. Therefore, we must pray for our deacons. We must pray for one another because we all have families. But listen what 1 Timothy 3:12 says. Just listen to this. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. How about that? And so we know that the role of a deacon, they're to rule their house well. They're to manage their house well, have good stewardship at their house. Of course, be the husbands of one wife and all the rest of it. But not only deacons. We need to pray for deacons that in their home life, in their families, as they lead as deacons, but each and every family of the church we need to pray for. Everybody in here is a product of some family. We got some young families, we have older families, but nonetheless, when we come together, when we're separate, we ought to pray for one another in all of our families. Now, not only we're to pray for our deacons, they have families to lead, we're to pray for one another in all of our families, but deacons also have a church to serve in, and it ought to be in that order. Deacons ought to lead their families first and rule them well and then serve in the church in that order. Because a deacon, again, as 1 Timothy 3:12 says, that they must rule their children in their own houses well. And we have many that serve in the church, and we ought to pray for one another, lift one another up in our own personal families, and also our roles in the church. As we serve, we ought to pray for one another. So number one, pray for your deacons and each other. Number two tonight, encourage your deacons and one another. Deacons tonight handle the logistics of the church. And sometimes there are very challenging logistics that must be handled. Sometimes very challenging situations surface that must be handled. Someone said to me one time, "Brother Justin, you couldn't pay me enough to do what you do."
And you know what my answer to them was? I said, "It's not about the money.
It's about a calling."
Because you see, the ministry,
you don't get into the ministry to make money. That's just a byproduct. The ministry is all about a calling. And if a person enters the ministry to draw a paycheck, they'll never make the ministry. Their duration will be very short-lived, because at the end of the day, it's all about a calling. And so we need to encourage our deacons, because they are called, church called, to be deacons in this church. God called on their behalf. And so we need to spend time encouraging them. But not only encouraging them, but we need to make sure we encourage one another. Over in the book of Acts, we got a long way to go in a short amount of time, so don't turn there, just listen. We're in the book of Acts, but Acts 11, of course, that's the previous chapter, so you're probably right there. Acts 11, verse 23, notice what the Bible says. It's speaking to Barnabas, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So tonight we see Barnabas, which means encouraging one, or son of consolation. And Barnabas, he came and he saw how God was working and how God was moving in the early church, and how God was blessing and people were getting saved. And they were the number of disciples, they were multiplying. And so he came on the scene and he just merely exhorted them. He encouraged them. It may have went something like this. "I know you just got saved and you feel great. But there'll come a time where you realize you're on planet Earth. and you're wrestling with the flesh, and there's the world at the same time pulling at you. And so I, Barnabas, say to you, cleave unto the Lord. Even during those times when you feel like departing, when you feel like giving up, I guess I could say. Of course, Barnabas trying to encourage, and he would say something like that. He would say, cleave to the Lord. Stay in your calling. Abide in your calling. With all purpose of heart, cleave unto the Lord. And tonight, we ought to do the same thing. We ought to encourage one another with purpose of heart, serve the Lord. Don't just come to church to come to church. Don't just come to church to say, well, so-and-so see me. They knew I was there. I've done my spiritual exercise for the day. No, but let's be like Barnabas who challenged and exhorted the others. He said, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And so are you abiding in your purpose? Are you being used of the Lord tonight? And so we're to encourage our deacons and each other. But then, number three, we're to trust our deacons. Trust our deacons, and we're to trust each other. Sometimes you might get a no from a deacon when you want to get a yes. Other times you may get a yes from a deacon when you want to know. But you got to keep in mind Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 3. It mentions that deacons are to be of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and wisdom. In wisdom, understanding. You may go to a deacon one day and ask, can we do this? Or I'm here to address this situation. How do you feel about it? And a deacon may be in total contrast to you and what you think. But it's because they're full of the Holy Ghost, and it's because of the wisdom that they have. And they'll exercise that wisdom. They'll use that understanding. But you know what? We ought to trust not only our deacons, but we ought to trust each other. We ought to trust each other. We ought to believe in one another. And sometimes you go to a brother or a sister with something, and it's not always, they're not always in agreement about everything. Sometimes there's disunity and not unity. But when it comes to a church challenge and a church being like this early church, we need to be a unified church. And we are. We're a unified church tonight. We're a unified church. But tonight, when it comes to this church challenge, let us trust our deacons and each other. Encourage our deacons and each other. Pray for our deacons and each other. But then number four, learn from our deacons and each other. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 verse 3 says, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. How about that? We're to learn from our deacons, but we're to learn from each other. You say, Brother Justin, I'm not a teacher. Well, you lead by example. You share what you know. And the Bible says whatever you know, you teach that, and then others will learn that, and then they will teach what you taught them. It's a chain. It's a chain. Right. So we're to learn from our deacons and each other. But if we're going to learn from our deacons and each other, that means we have to be teachable. So many people, or so many, I guess, different situations, and so many people, they get offended when you have something you want to talk to them about, or a little lesson, or some words to the wise you want to share. And sometimes people get offended at that. But let us have a teachable spirit. I want to tell you, I don't know everything tonight, Brother Vernon. As much as I do know, now what I don't know a whole lot, but what I know real good. But at the end of the day, there's still so much I don't know. And I ask God every day to give me a teachable spirit, to give me a humble spirit, because to be quite honest with you, sometimes I get on the defense. Somebody, oh, Brother Justin, can I tell you something, an area you know that we need to address? And it may not be anything about me personally, but immediately I get defensive on the inside. I'm ready to just see what they have. I'm ready to absorb it. But over the years, I've learned that God has a way sometimes of teaching us valuable things through different people. So we got to maintain this teachable spirit. Let us tonight learn from our deacons and each other. Number five, talk well of your deacons and each other. Talk well. And again, this is a church challenge tonight. Seemingly everyone knows how to do the job better than the one doing it. Well, if I was a deacon or if I was the pastor, I would do it this way. Or if I was that Sunday school teacher, if I worked in the children's department, if I worked in the nursery, Miss Christie, I know she's down there, then I would do it this way. Well, let me tell you a little something about how we do things, and then there they take off running. Let us talk well of our deacons, and let us talk well of each other. Seemingly everyone knows how to do the job better than the one doing it. Let us say kind things about one another, about our deacons, and about each and every one of us. Let us stay in our lane and speak well of our men. So we're to talk well of our deacons and each other. Number six, I got seven. I'm almost done. Number six, let us remember the wives of deacons. Let us remember deacon wives. Now, this was pretty much for the church to the deacons' wives. While the wives are not deacons, they are married to one, and they have a walk to maintain as well. Let us remember our deacon wives. 1 Timothy 3:11, listen to this. Even so must their wives be grave. Not in a grave, but grave. Not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let us remember our deacon wives tonight. Remember, let us pray for them and to know that they need our love and support as well. Encourage them. If it's been a while since you've encouraged the deacon's wife, I challenge you to encourage them tonight. And so we see that we're to remember the deacon's wives. And that just falls right in line with each other, remembering each other's family as a church. Last thing, and I'm done. Concerning this church challenge, let us serve with the deacons. And let us serve together. While deacons have their role, don't sit back and watch them sweat. Jump in and help. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter number 6 for just a moment. Verse number 1, something I want you to see. And I'll turn it over to Brother Vernon. The disciples were multiplied. And I want you to notice something. That there was a multitude of disciples and only 7 deacons. Verse number 1, and in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And so we know, the abbreviated version tonight, we know that the widows were being neglected, and the apostles shouldn't have been the ones to go and wait on them because they had to present the word of God. And so they needed their time to study, to pray. So 7 men, verse number 3, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, were sought out. Now, I had someone tell me, and they've told me a couple different times, Brother Justin, your only job is to pray and preach. Well, you know it don't stop there. You know it don't stop there. Because the first moment that I don't go visit you in the hospital, whoever you are that said that, and I know, that you're going to get on to me. Well, you didn't come and see me in the hospital. Well, you told me my only job is to pray and preach. I mean, that's what the Bible says, pray and preach. But we know that the pastor's job don't end there. And we know that any God-called pastor has a heart for the sheep and wants to be there for them during the bad times and good. But nonetheless, these seven men were sought out. But in verse number 1, the Bible says, and in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied. And so there was a multitude, a multiplication of disciples, but there were only seven deacons serving. And so what does that mean? That means there was lots and lots of help in the area. Not just seven deacons doing all the work, though that was the instruction. But maybe from time to time, some of those deacons grabbed one in the multitude. Hey, brother, could you come over here and help? And I said that to say this tonight, that we're to serve with the deacons. We're to serve with the deacons. Don't just sit back and let them do everything. Don't just sit back and let the Sunday school teachers teach and all the rest of it. Let all of us jump in and find something to do. There was a multitude here, not just seven deacons, but there was a lot of people available to serve. So tonight, that's my abbreviated version of a church challenge. And again, it's the one-year anniversary, Brother CJ, Brother Brian, being deacons, and we're so proud of them. We love them. Love you, brother. Love your wives. I guess Brother Brian, he's away tonight with the home as well. Love him. Love Miss Melita. And we go around the room talking about love tonight. Ceylon and Jeff and all the rest, Catherine, Sharon, naming all the deacons. We'll miss somebody. And Don and Vaughn. Each and every one of you. So God bless you. We appreciate you. That's just a little church challenge tonight on the anniversary of our two deacons, among our others. Brother Vernon, if you want to come around, you can just jump right in the flow of things. And you can take your time in the time that we've talked about. If you go over, that's fine with me, brother. We appreciate you. Yes, sir.
Appreciate the opportunity to stand here with you folks. Brother, that was a good challenge. I appreciate it. We all needed that challenge. I kind of got a little bit more challenge for you, but first of all, I don't know how many of you know me or not. My name is Vernon Peppers. This is my wife, Jeanette, and we're missionaries to fairs and festivals. We go out to different events, marketplace-type places, and we rent space. We set up our tent, we set up our booth, and we present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to anybody coming by who's willing to listen. Now, we do have a display that helps us to do that. And I ask you, once the service is over, come by our display out here in the hallway, and we'll show you how we present the gospel to people. It's a simple method. Not easy. It's simple. The hard part is there's this fellow running around that tries to oppose us. Sure. And he doesn't like us doing that. And we just we need your prayers to press on with that. But you know, it takes more than just your prayers. As the brother was saying about helping here, just this last point he was making, that there's work, you know, yeah, we're the missionaries, but we can't do it all by ourselves. Right. We're going to be at the North Georgia State Fair starting September 22nd, running through October 1st, I believe is the dates. October 2nd, she tells me. Mm-hmm. Always listen to your wife. She knows best. And anyway, they tell me that 400,000 people are going to pass through that fair. There is no way that Jeanette and I can witness to 400,000 people. We need help. We like to have at least three people in the booth at any given time, and sometimes more than that, because if you get a lot of people coming by, you need a lot of people helping. You got a lot of opportunity to reach souls for Christ. And you know, that is not just something we ought to do. It's something that we are commanded to do. We are sent. You know, when I was in the Navy, they sent me to Adak, Alaska. You know what? I didn't tell them I don't want to go. Now, I did not want to go to Adak, Alaska. It's the middle of the Aleutian Islands. There's nothing there but a Navy base. The warmest it got all year long was 59 degrees. The wind blows 30 knots average. It's not a very pleasant place, but I went because I was sent. You are sent. You are sent to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we just request that you might consider coming out and helping us, as the brother has said. And that said, I've got just a little bit more challenge here for you. I'd like to direct your attention to a few verses here in the book of John. John chapter 15, and I'm going to start in verse 4. John chapter 15 and verse 4. This is the very familiar teaching on the vine and the branches. And in John chapter 15, in verse 4, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you." Do you notice that that is a commandment? That's something that Christ is telling us to do. Abide in him, and him in us. Do you realize that that means him abiding in you is up to you? I just realized that a week ago as I was sitting there fixing to preach on this particular passage. And it struck me. Abide in me and I in you. That's up to me. I've got to make a place for him to abide in me. But as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. Now, when he says that we're going to bear fruit, when we abide in him, as he tells us to do, we will bear fruit. Now, some have said that that means the fruit of the Spirit. But you know something? If you look at just what he says just after that, he says that the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The fruits of the Spirit is what the Holy Spirit brings into your life. Amen. The fruit that he's talking about is the fruit of souls that you go out and reach for Christ. Yes. That's what he's talking about right here. If we're going to serve him, if we're going to abide in him as he tells us, if we're going to do as he commands us, then we will bear fruit. And if we're not bearing fruit, that means there's only one reason not. We're not doing what he told us to do. We're not abiding in him. We're abiding in ourselves. We're abiding in the world. We're abiding any place but in him. Now, if a man abide not in me, he says, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That doesn't mean we lose our salvation. That's not what he's saying right here. He says, men gather them. when he's talking about the parable of the wheat and the tares, it's the angels that gathered them, the tares up, and burned them. This is men. You're going to get burned up by men. You're going to get burned up by the world. The world is going to burn you up if you don't live for Jesus, if you don't let him abide in you. So when we don't allow him to abide in us, and when we don't abide in him, we're cast forth. We're set aside. We're thrown away until we start abiding in him. Then he can graft us right back in, and we can serve him. And so I urge you, abide in the Lord and serve him the way he commands us to do, and not be cast aside. Thank you, brother.
Give a round of applause for us tonight and the work that they do, that God has called them to do. And I took off my lapel already. That's okay. But thank you, brother, for your presentation and your brief presentation. And I want to encourage you to check out their table as you leave tonight. Take a good look at that. And feel free to talk to Brother Vernon, Miss Jeanette, Sister Jeanette. And maybe we can get out there and help them speak to the world. All right. We'll be dismissing a word of prayer. And everyone have a blessed and safe week this week. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Be with us tonight in a special way as we go our separate ways. And help us all, Lord, to just get good rest, be ready for the week, be spiritually in tune with you. Dear Lord, help us just redeem the time. The days are evil. Oh, God, help us to tell someone about Jesus this week. In your name we do pray. Amen. All right.